This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, the Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/stringchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/stringchicks. masterclass.com/stringchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Welcome back to Shrink Chicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
We're very nervous because today's the first day we're like fully video recording this.
Yes, and we're like, we don't know what to do with our hands.
We don't know what to do with our hands. My knee is at my bosom. Weird things are happening. It is okay.
Actually, when I do therapy, my knee is usually at my bosom.
Is that a self-protective thing?
I'm not sure. I just feel more comfortable, like my knee's up.
Your knee at your bosom.
I always wonder, like, how my clients...
I'm a Jewish grandmother right now.
Your yeah. bosom. My bosom. Bubala.
My bubala. Okay. Hey, today's the last episode of season two.
Of season two. And so we wanted to talk about endings.
And transitions. Because a few... things that I would say season two was very transitional time. We were trying out a lot of stuff. By the end of the season, we said, we don't like this.
Also, it was 2020.
That was hard.
Really hard.
That was hard.
A lot of transitions in 2020.
The cool thing about transitions, though, is like you do get to sort of say, like, we have to make it less about like, what am I running from as opposed to what am I walking towards?
Oh my God. Because did you just think about that right now?
No, I've said that before.
It's just beautiful.
I mean, I'll take the credit, but no. That's been said before. By me, probably on this show, honestly. So it is cool to think about there were some shit that did not work in this season for us. No. There were some growing pains. And we're going to take a 3-week break now before we get to season three, because a lot of cool stuff's going to happen for season three, and it's going to be back to you and I majority.
And we're more seasoned now.
Unless, like, Michelle Obama's like, I'd like to come on. And then we're like,
absolutely.
Yes, please, you are my president. And then it's okay.
100%.
Right?
We're bringing Michelle Obama on immediately.
Well, you know, wait, but your dream guest currently is Demi Lovato.
Well, I just watched her documentary.
Yes.
And it was all about her being authentic. So she recorded a documentary in 2018 that got halted because she overdosed.
Yeah.
But in the 2018 one, she wasn't as authentic. She felt like the cameras couldn't really, like, see her authentic self. Yeah. And so in this documentary, she's being really authentic. I just feel like very much aligns with our message.
So if you happen to know Demi Lovato or Michelle Obama...
Or anyone else, for that matter.
Interested. But besides that, but also, we want to talk about this today because something we haven't talked about is loss of pets.
Oof.
And you just had a loss this week.
So, on Sunday, my poor kitty passed away suddenly out of nowhere.
Like, out of absolutely
out of nowhere. I mean, Emily slept over, actually, on Wednesday.
Should we be telling people about our sleepovers in our 30s?
100%. I think we need to normalize that.
Can we normalize sleepovers?
And we had the time of our lives.
But, yes, Tato was completely fine.
And even minutes before he passed away, he was totally fine. I was hanging out with him. The sun was setting. Yeah. It was really a beautiful scene and an evening before it happened. And we're not fully sure what happened, but the doctor told us it was probably a blood clot. Mm. And it looked like he was having a seizure or a stroke or something. And it happened in a matter of seconds, like 30 seconds.
And you were by yourself.
I was by myself. So I called my husband and I was like, something's wrong with Tater. I was screaming and crying. It was really, really terrible. Yeah. And, you know, from there, I had to call the doctor and they told me that he's probably passed. So there was nothing I could have done. It was,
talk about a lack of control.
Oh my god,
right? Like, how many of us is that? I actually have this thought all the time about my dog Murphy, because Murphy is so big I could not pick him up. Like, what would I do if this happened? Yes. I wouldn't be able to put him in the car and bring him somewhere.
Oh, yeah,
right. And so it is this thing we've talked a lot about, like grief, preparation for grief, what this looks like, and I don't think we've really talked about how incredibly difficult it can be to lose an animal. And also because the fact, like, the world doesn't, like, stop spinning, right? Like, it could be, like, such an important part of your life, such an important family member, and nobody's really getting, no one's getting, like, family medical leave for the death of their pet. And totally. They should.
Well, it's another form, I think, of disenfranchised grief.
Yes.
Right? So I think for people who do have pets, they completely understand. People who have lost pets before, mm-hmm. the grief is so real. Like, the day after, I mean, the day of, I was a mess. My husband was a mess. The day after, I could not stop crying.
Yeah.
I was so lucky to have you, so lucky to have Nikki, who were, like, picking up the slack, because I could not function.
Well, and thank goodness you're in a job where you're able to, like, take that time. And, like, yes. We have so much privilege with that. Most people don't have that.
Absolutely.
For, like, we don't live in a country that honors grief. And it's interesting we talk about this because my uncle died last week.
Yes.
And
you're right. And there's grief in your family, too.
Wait, but it's so interesting because my uncle died in Amsterdam last week. And it's very different.
Oh, yeah. Please tell.
Yes. Can we talk about this? Right? Yes. Like, the different ways that, like, we, like, honor grief in different countries. So here's the wildest part, right? In the United States, it's fucking ridiculous. First of all, the fact that you get a bill, you can die and get a bill. The way I, like, got a bill when I miscarried, you know? Like, all this stuff, right? So
it's like, oh, you lost someone. Here's pay us some money.
Is some money, right? Because, like, we have a very bad system. Where in Amsterdam, where my uncle was living, my mom flew out to Amsterdam to be there because he doesn't have any family
Amsterdam
there. Amsterdam's
beautiful.
Well, it's pretty rainy this time of year, but it's quite beautiful.
It's quite beautiful.
And
a lot of bike riders.
But they don't have HIPAA in Amsterdam.
Interesting.
And because they don't have HIPAA in Amsterdam, every doctor that had seen him came in and said something to my mom. Every nurse was, like, checking in on her. They put, after he passed, they put this, like, beautiful calligraphied sign on the door of his room. So, like, when my mom walked out of the room, the sign said, like, pass. So when my mom walked out of the room, people were like, I'm really sorry.
Wow.
They had put up pictures that were on his phone. Like, while he was passing, they brought in a cart of tea and cookies. The U.S. would never.
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 They'd give you a bill. Immediately give you a bill.
Yes.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
So it is so interesting to think about how grief is done with all different cultures, how grief is handled in different countries, and how grief is handled based on what that grief looks like. Is it a person? Is it a pet? Is it a divorce, right? Like, is it the year 2020?
Did you know, my friend told me this recently, did you know that there's death doulas?
Yes. We should have a death
doula. We should have a death doula.
Philly Death Doula, you can follow on Instagram, and she's so cool.
Really?
Yes, you have to follow her stuff.
What an intense job to have, but what a beautiful
thing to do,
and almost like a reframe for what's happening, because like the death doula is almost helping them transition.
Well, it's true, right? I mean, like, because I had a birth doula, right? My amazing birth doula. And like, and that was about how to welcome your child into the world in a peaceful, intentive setting. And so why would we not want death to be the same way, right? If I'm going to be welcomed into this world this way, I'd like to be also welcomed out of the, I mean, leaving the world with dignity and intention. And if we get the chance to do that, if we know that we're having a sickness, if there's time to prepare, we're able to do that. But often it's totally sudden.
Right. And like I think that makes grief much more complicated when it's sudden. Right. I mean, when you have a loved one that's sick, your mind is already preparing. Yeah. Right. Your mind is almost in that process. When it happens out of nowhere, grief is much more complicated. And so, you know, while I was grieving, and I'm still in the process of grieving, every day it gets a little bit easier. But I'm also very conscious of how I'm grieving. I told Emily this last night. I was like, I sound like a complete psychopath because I shouldn't use the word psychopath. But because while I'm grieving, I'm thinking about, okay, like, how am I grieving? Like, what's this like for me? Because I want to really get in touch with my experience so that I can understand other people's experience of grief.
Yeah.
And so the day after, I just let myself cry whenever I needed to cry. And it almost felt, you know when you cry sometimes and you're like, okay, I feel better after I cry.
Oh my gosh. It's my favorite. A good cry. Baby.
A good cry. It really lets it out. There's a release.
Yeah.
It is not the same in grief.
No.
You cry and it's just still there. And it just still comes up. It's Emily also so asked heavy. Me. She asked me to cry on this episode. And I was like, I don't know if I can. But
you're so good at crying.
Thank you. I know. Yeah. Well, as soon as I feel it, I'm like, I'm pushing this out. Like I need it to come out. So but yeah, it was totally different. You let yourself cry and you still feel it. Mm-hmm. Like I could be in the middle of doing something, watching a movie, whatever, that has nothing to do with animals or, you know, it just comes. Yeah. It just comes up out of nowhere. And I think that you're right. There's a, you know, I'm very privileged in the fact that I had that space and can still create that space to be able to grieve. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't, aren't able to create that for themselves. And so.
And also a lot of people aren't surrounded by people that like honor that, right? Right. Where like, I mean, like how often have you heard these stories of people saying like, it was just a pet, get over it.
Right.
Or it was just a job, get over it. There's another one, right? So anything that can feel like loss, if you are surrounded by people in your life that also are unable or unwilling to make space for you to do that, that makes it incredibly difficult because it feels so minimizing. Yes. And you're just shoving that shit down.
Totally. And I think that that's to make, while you're grieving, to also make a conscious decision. And I know it's hard to make a conscious decision while you're grieving, but of who you lean on, who you talk to, that there are going to be some people who
can't do that, can't go
who
there.
Can't do that. And that's not any fault of theirs. They're just unable to connect with it. In the same way, I think it's the same thing for cats too. You know, I think it's easier for people to connect with losing a dog, but if you have no relationship with a cat, it's harder to understand that connection too. So,
but isn't just the same as any pets?
100%.
I mean, we're talking about dogs and cats. What about gerbils or parrots?
Totally. Gerbils, fish.
I killed so many gerbils in my youth. So it's very.
You had gerbils.
Well, I think we had a hamster that bit. I remember this hamster that bit my finger so bad one time, and then it bit the babysitter's finger. And I do believe, if I remember correctly, my mother just released it into the woods, and she was like, "He's going to go visit his family," and like that hamster didn't. It didn't come back from that family vacation.
No, it did not. I had turtles. I was that girl.
That surprises me a ton.
Guess what my turtle's name was? If you
Shelly.
Shelly was the girl.
Of course it was.
And the boy, what would you say his name is?
Turtle.
Turtle. Sheldon.
Oh, fucking
course. I was just real original.
You were
I still
so
am.
Original. But, you know, I had a turtle in college named Shelly.
You did? Do you think it's the same one?
Probably they lived that long.
I think I did. I think Shelly definitely died.
Oh.
Sheldon also. It's like they just right. start floating
but it's
to
also,
the top.
But also, okay, that's like another thing, right? So like in my childhood, no, I wouldn't say I had these like strong emotional connections to these pets, but other people totally may have. But Tater was with you from when we were in grad school.
Yes. I got Tater in grad school after I broke up with my boyfriend. Remember that? Or as I was about to break up with my boyfriend.
I do remember because I was in support of that breakup.
Of course.
I believe my husband called that person. I believe there was one time where my husband was like, Jen is so cool. That guy's a dud. What's the deal? Do you remember this?
He was
a lovely man.
A lovely, really yes. nice man. Not the right fit, I would say.
Not the fit, and that's totally fine, right? But so then Tater was like a big part. Like you like there was this fear of like, once again, a fear. If I end this relationship, will I find someone else?
Yes.
They're nice enough.
Right. Should and I just, was yes. I was
they
you
really
know,
care about me.
It was early 20s. And at the
scary
time. Scary time. And we were in grad school learning about ourselves in a way.
Too much.
That is so overwhelming. And so I got Tater during that time. Same time I got my nose job. We're just going to be honest on here.
No one's listening to this yeah. episode.
I haven't bothered.
So, right. Yes. What a transition.
Remember we had a going away party for my nose job.
Yes. But a lot of people really shit on you for that
they
nose
did.
Job.
They did, yeah.
You
they
had
were
a
really.
Hate in grad school for that nose
yeah.
job.
Yeah, you know, I think it made me stronger.
I mean, because a lot of people said, oh, well, just accept yourself the way it is. And
yes.
you're like, hey, but, like, this is something I've always wanted.
Totally.
And it goes into, like, still, once again, like, shouldn't we have freedom and control to make any decision about our
yes.
body and whatever there that is, right? Like, as someone who, like, believes in self-acceptance, I also don't believe it's my place to put on anyone else what
right.
they do with their body.
Totally. And I think if something makes you comfortable,
yes,
it's something you can absolutely do. But there's a – I mean, actually, I don't know. I was trying to make the connection here. But I was going to say there's
yeah,
a grief in letting go of my old nose.
I don't think that
no,
was accurate. That,
no.
one, that one you're really reaching for.
I know.
But so there's a grief in any transition. And it's funny, though, because what we can link is that, like, there's going to be people supportive in any transition. There's going to be people not supportive
yes.
in any transition. There's going to be people that you can go to, things, the different transitions that make us feel very isolated. Did you feel isolated in your grief this week?
No, not at all.
Oh, that's nice.
Really not at all. Because I once again, was trying to be very conscious of what I was doing while I was grieving. And so in allowing myself to cry, allowing myself to feel it, like I reached out to people, which I think is really essential to do. At least for me. You know, you can't speak to anyone. If some people need to... I was also isolated in my house. You know, it's not like I had a lot of people around me. And I could create space for myself to not see people. And so it was important for me to reach out to friends, to family. And I had so many people who were connecting with me, which really meant so much. And so I think that that was a big part of it, is that I didn't feel isolated. Everyone was like, call me if you need me. And so I don't feel isolated in it. I know that it's still going to come up. And I'm a... Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just, it's just, it's interesting, the conversation about grief in this year. We keep calling it 2020. I'm aware that it's 2021. But
I'm not.
But it feels so everlasting.
It does.
And, you know, there has been over 500,000 people that have died of COVID. Yes. The amount of grief we've been surrounded by this year is unbelievable.
Absolutely. And also, whether it's death, whether it's losing a job, whether, you know, especially if you had your sense of self connected to your job, you know, there's such a grief that can come with that. And so there's this, I think, for a lot of people was a year of grieving. I think it also is a year of transitions and new beginnings, you know. And so I think, too, with grief, something I'm processing is, what does my life look like without Tater? And he was just, I think, too, with a pet, they're just such a part of your
day-to-day.
You know, like, if a grandparent dies, it's very sad. And but they're, you know,
some people, for certain people, they're living the same home.
Right. But if they're not part of your day-to-day, it's a different type of grief. I think that when someone or something is part of your day-to-day that you lose, there's a level of... kind of understanding, what does my life look like? Also, my dog is grieving, too.
That's horrible.
Which is so sad.
But you're right. Like, so it's this thing that's so automatic, right? So whether it's like, oh, I pick up the phone to call this person and think that they're going to answer, or I want to tell them about something, or I just go fill up his water bowl or something, right? Like, these things that are so automatic.
Just happening so naturally.
Yes. And last week's episode, we talked to Dr. Jen about mindfulness.
Yes.
Right. And so, like, and I think that that was really interesting, especially as it comes to grief, of like being aware, because like we're on such autopilot for so much of our actions and so much of our day to day, that it can then bring that, like, maybe like what, like, you know, I'm having my morning coffee and I'm hanging out, it's not a problem. And then I think, oh, I forgot to feed him. And it's like, oh, wait.
Oh, wait, I don't have to.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the good thing about cats is that they're like pretty easy. There's only so much you have to do with cats.
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packed. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
But I think just the piece of, like, one thing that keeps coming to mind is I would be very conscious about leaving the door open because, you know, cats get out. Louis will stay with me no matter what. But I don't have to be conscious of leaving the door open anymore, which I notice every time I'm leaving the house. I'm recognizing that I'm not, I don't have to be worried
That's
about leaving.
That's really fun to feel.
Yeah. Every
All
time.
All day long.
Constantly. Exactly. So I think that there's so many small, very yeah. small triggers that we don't think about that come up when we're grieving. And so that's kind of what I was saying is, like, you could be doing something so mundane
yeah.
and it could come up so quickly where, and I think too, I'm feeling it more when my husband is home and like, mm-hmm. and the whole family's together.
Yeah.
Because it feels more so like something's missing. Like yeah. when we're all spread apart, it's like, okay, we're just in different places.
Well, it's funny. Like you even just laughed and minimized family, but like that is your family, Jen.
It's totally my family.
Right? Like you just use humor to like,
Well, how do you
feelings.
Think I cope with everything?
Humor. It's why the podcast works. It's why we're funny. We use a lot of humor.
We've really gotten good at coping like that.
You just like sort of casually said family, but like, Jen, that's your family.
100%.
Whether there is, I was about to say earth beings.
Wait, what?
Whether there is earth beings or not, I think I meant humans.
Earth beings. Okay.
It's really good. This is the
Are you an alien? Do we need to talk about this? Are you actually an alien? This is going to be like a Men in Black experience where like Emily just rips off her skin.
Yo. What is it? More sugar. Like the part of Men in Black when he like sugar water.
Yes. Yeah.
Yo, I fucking love Men in Black. It's a great show.
I mean, clearly. So, like, even though they weren't earth beings, we're losing it. We can't. We need to bring it back.
Bring it back to what?
I don't know. We got nothing. But once again, we're using humor to deflect the sadness of the situation.
The sadness, right. But I just had to point out for you, so anyone listening know that whatever your family looks like, it is a family.
Absolutely.
It does not fucking matter.
And, you know, like,
earth being or not.
Earth being or not. But some, but two, you know, I think, I think really recognizing that too, some people have to choose their family, right? Like we yeah. don't choose the family that we're born into.
Yeah. But you can choose your family outside of that.
Exactly. So you,
fuck yeah.
you can choose your family outside of that. And that is also your family.
Yeah.
Right. And so to lose that, whether it's through death, whether it's through some sort of relationship ending, mm-hmm. You know, is really real.
Yeah.
And so and you know, I've talked to a lot of clients when they lose pets, there's such a heartache that comes with it. And it, you know, even before I lost Hader, and I think it's different too, when you raise something from like a very small, you know, child.
Yeah.
There's a different type of connection.
He was so little.
He was so little.
He was so tiny when
and
you first
so
got him.
Cute. He used to bite my toes.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just a totally different experience. And so when I have clients come in who talk about like the loss of a pet, the hurt is so intense,
yeah.
and I could feel it. You know,
and I've had that. Like I've had sessions with people where they talk about a dog from like years before and
yeah.
it still brings up so much pain.
Totally.
Right? So like, and I think, so you're right. Like, I think it is, I love that you brought up this term of disenfranchised grief again. I think that is a word every person, every term, you need to take
every
this term.
Every earth being
who doesn't understand this term.
Understand disenfranchised grief.
Right. And so that is grief that is not socially accepted. It's not one that's socially identified. Mm-hmm. It's not mainstream. So it is, it's totally disenfranchised. And it's a grief that comes so much with loss of a pet,
yes.
fertility, any of these type of things. So, yeah.
We should have that pet medium on the podcast. Okay, we said Michelle Obama, Demi Lovato, and now the pet medium.
So this idea of not having any more guests is going really, really well.
I know. I just really want to hear what she has to say without paying her.
Maybe you should just pay her for the
right,
service.
Right, that's fair. Yeah.
But okay, but if you've used a pet medium before, I would like, can you slide into my DMs? I would like to hear about that experience, what that was, because it seems like it would be incredibly helpful.
So how about I'll go to the pet medium, I'll pay her, we'll have a session, and then I'll ask her at the end if she'll come on the podcast.
Deal.
And maybe bring Tater on the podcast also and tell me what he's saying.
Well, he was talking a fuck ton on Wednesday night when
I slept over. Oh, yeah, he was very vocal.
Had a lot to say that evening.
Yeah, he was. I think he was okay, though.
I think he was fine. I don't think, he didn't know.
He was just in a new.
This was not, like, it was like one of those situations where, like, I missed the signs.
Right? And that's, that I think is important to think about, too, is that I keep going back to, like, was there anything that I missed? And also, I've done a lot of Googling lately, too, because there's a searching for answers when this kind of grief comes up. And
information as a coping skill.
Exactly. Information and humor.
Yeah.
And I think that animals are actually really good at hiding any sort of pain they're in as a survival mechanism. And so it's really easy to be like, okay, well, what did I miss? What should I have done? Because it helps you to feel like you have more control over a situation. It's actually just completely out of your control.
Yeah.
And he was way too young. You know, like cats are supposed to live till they're like 20.
How old was he?
He was 8.
God, that's young.
Yeah.
That is really young for a cat.
I know. He was really young. And so it just happened so quickly out of nowhere. And I'm just allowing myself to grieve and take care of myself so that I can be there for my clients, so that I can, you know, be there for others in my life and just, like, really give to myself during this time and not trying to disenfranchise my own grief.
Oh, that's good. Right? Well, goes back to our self-compassion episode, right? You have a choice, which is to, like, offer it. If I was going to make this same space and room for other people, I need to at least have the same amount offered to me.
Yes.
Right? Just like the baseline.
I think too, I was telling you this last night, that it gives you a level of perspective in your life of things could change very quickly out of nowhere. Mm. And it really makes you think about, like, okay, how do I appreciate every moment that I have with people and have with my animals? I was also thinking about this, that, like, now that Tater has passed away, that this is like my systemic brain. The pressure I'm putting on myself to take care of Louie.
Well, but that's, Jen, that's when we have a conversation about, like, is the pendulum right?
Exactly. And right?
This is the conversation of, like, then we start to overcompensate.
Totally.
Overcompensate in, like, other relationships. And that's when you talk about, like, the pendulum shift, like, swing. Pendulum swings the other way.
Yes, and I totally noticed that. I noticed that I'm like, oh, I need to take Louie on longer walks. I need to, which, like, you know, isn't a bad thing. But
he probably loves it.
He loves it. Yeah. I'm playing with him more. I'm, you know, just really trying to appreciate every moment that I have with him. And everyone in my life, I think it gives you a level of perspective that things could change so quickly and out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And so, but systemically thinking about it, it makes me think about, like, how when there is loss or when something changes, like, the way in which it affects how you might parent another child.
Yes.
Right? Like, the pressure that it might put on parents to parent the other child if, you know, something happened.
Or, like, when my, if, like, if you've one parent who passes.
Yes.
Like, sometimes there's, like, this indebted feeling I feel to the living one.
Yes.
Where, or
the earth, living earth being.
The earth being, or the, or sometimes a resentment towards.
Right.
Like, another thing that can come up for people is it goes the other way, where I feel resentment towards the living earth human.
It's just, we're never gonna stop with it now.
No, I think
we just replace human.
Yes. So I have a question. As we head into the next season and we think about what this ending is about and what we want, I want to hear your thoughts.
What we want for the podcast, or just in our lives?
Both is fun, but I was thinking specifically the podcast, but if you have another one that comes up, I'd be interested to hear about that too.
Well, I think that, you know, when me and you do episodes together, we're able to get, you know, a level of, like, authenticity.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, really connecting with our authenticity and also other people's ability to be authentic. I think we've given a ton of information on this podcast.
I hope.
We don't know if anyone's...
The point is information, so I hope.
We hope that that's happening. But I think, too, that a lot of the feedback that we get is that people are connecting with, like, the authenticity that it's allowing other people
to... The humanity.
It's allowing other people to feel like they can be more human, mm-hmm. That they don't have to put up this facade. And so I think continuing to connect with our authenticity, others' authenticity, showing humanness... Mm. So that people feel like they can be human themselves. They give themselves more self-compassion.
So what do you think would be, what would be, if a client came to you and said, I want to show more humanness, I want to show more authenticity, what advice would you give? What would you say to them? Because I think people want that. I think people are wondering, how the fuck am I more me?
Totally. Well, I think, too, the first step is connecting with what's happening for you internally. Right? That sometimes mm-hmm. we don't even realize what's going on for us.
Yeah, man, especially if I'm living in this world, right? It goes back to Dr. Jen's episode, right? How do I reconnect even just that 5 minutes a day to re-ground myself and reconnect with me?
So I think that the first step is just recognizing what's going on internally for you. Like, if, I think one of the hardest things to do is that, like, if society is putting this pressure on you to be a certain way or express things in a certain way or hold things in, that we often learn to ignore our feelings or mm-hmm. our intuition, or we ignore kind of our inner world so that we can fit in with what society is asking us to do.
Okay.
And so I think, you know, just as earth beings, we – I said it very seriously that time. That was good, right? I think just as earth beings, we are, you know – kind of programmed to fit in, that it's a survival mechanism. And so we often learn to ignore our internal world. And so I think that reconnecting with that and also saying it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm allowed to feel how I feel, even if it's different than what society is asking me to portray.
I don't know how to do a personal versus professional for this topic.
This was very personal. This was a personal episode to begin with.
This was your hell.
This is literally my hell.
This is you having to talk about yourself this much about something so real. You did really good. Thank you. Actually can't believe you let me talk about this.
Oh, yeah.
You did have an entire episode about my miscarriage, though, so it feels only fair to do this.
That is very fair.
Right?
Also, I go to therapy, you know, a lot to really learn how to connect with my inner world and be able to express it to others. So, and I think this podcast is so helpful for that, too.
Because really
I don't have a fucking choice, apparently.
No. No, you really don't.
I just don't have a choice.
No, we still have to show up and do this every week.
Right.
Or else I think Nikki will quit because we put her through so much.
And we can't lose her.
We can't lose Nikki. Right? Yeah, no, we have to stay. She keeps us in line. So, hey, man.
Hey.
Thanks for doing this with me another season.
Oh, my God. This is amazing. I can't believe we're done season two.
I know. Season three, there's some cool stuff coming. Should we give anyone a...
Do we even know?
Well, we have one cool thing that's coming.
I'm ready.
That is going to reflect the new season, which is we have had quite a lot of people talk about and ask us about premarital counseling, so we have an e-course coming out.
I was like, I had no idea where you were going,
first
of all.
I was
going
to say.
My grief is, that's another thing about grief, is like you can milk it and be like, it's just fogging my brain. I have no idea what you're talking about.
If you have
about.
A card to pull, pull it. So next season is going to also, we're talking a little bit about more premarital, some wedding stuff. People ask about that all the time. And then fuck it, we'll just make an e-course of how to do this because we offer it. And
it's a course that's also not religiously based.
No, no.
And I think that people are looking for that, right? And there's a lot of premarital that's connected to like pre-Cana.
Yes.
And
is that how you say it?
I have no idea. I was looking at your face hoping that you would just affirm that that's what it is. I'm a Jew. I have no idea.
Anyone know? No one in
this
room?
No one? Nope. No one knows.
Two other people.
Okay. We're
going to
go with pre-Cana.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll say pre-Cana.
That, Pre-cana. Someone just said pre-cana. Cool. Okay, great. So so if you are someone who is looking to do that, or if you want to buy a really nice gift, that's a better bridal shower gift, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
How to make your marriage last. But, you know, sure, also you can buy a fucking air fryer, because who doesn't want one? So
they really are incredible.
Season 2, thanks for showing up. Thanks for being here. And we'll talk to you guys soon in season 3.